folks, welcome to a brand new edition of Clan Chat Online. We have another great guest lined up for you this week, so let's go round the houses. On the top left-hand corner, Matt Hayward is back after his week off. How's things with you, Matt?
Yeah, good. Nothing's changed, mate. Same old, same old.
Good stuff. Bottom right-hand corner, sitting in for Jerry this week, is Craig Peacock, who enjoyed it that much. He's come back. Craig, good to see you again.
Yep, thanks for having me. You should probably replace me now with Jerry, I think.
Well, Matt's had a week off. Jerry's got a week off this week. I wonder when my week off's coming. Never mind. Anyway, special guest at the bottom left-hand corner. There he is. Played for the Clan between 2014 and 2018. Last season, played with the Manchester Storm, but we don't talk about that. It is the former defenceman, Zach Sullivan. Zach, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for having me on. How are you guys?
We're all good. We're all good. Yep, thumbs up from Pete's. Excellent. Right, well, let's get into it then. Well, obviously, it's good to see you again, Sully. We'll get the first thing out of the way. Your big announcement 7 months ago during the Pride weekend. You know, we've spoken quite often since then, but how's life been for you since you made that announcement? I know you've been a bit of a media darling. You were on all sorts of media in North America as well, but what has life been like for you in the last 7 months since you made that announcement?
Yeah, William Peake's probably bored of me talking about this.
Mr. Worldwide.
No, it's been good. You know, it's always, always jump at any opportunity to kind of get the message out. And, you know, William Peake's have been supporting me all the way, along with Josh as well. And, no, it's really, I've not really experienced any negativity towards it, which is really, really good to see.
Now, Peaks, I know, as Zach said there, you and he spoke about this before he made the announcement. He confided in you, a big thing to do, of course. How proud are you of the way he handled it and of course, the reaction we've had of it since?
You've got to say something.
Oh, massively. What?
I'm going to say something nice about me publicly.
Nah. No, of course, massively proud of him. Like, Sully became one of my really good friends when I moved up to Glasgow and we lived together, so... we became good friends, close friends. And, you know, he told me before, a couple of months before, wasn't it, that you actually, did the announcement. And it just, whatever, it's, he's still my mate. Like, and I couldn't be more proud of him for the way that he did it. He was talking to me in the week that he was leading up to his announcement and stuff. And, you know, we chatted about it. He told me his ideas and I was fully there to support him. You know, it's such a big thing to do in the world of sport. And, you know, the way he's done it and the way he's handled himself afterwards, I think it's, you know, it's paved the way for other people who are in that similar situation.
And Matt, I remember that game against Fife that weekend. The first thing you did, you spoke to me as soon as you came off the ice. And the first thing you did was basically pay tribute to Sully. But when you think of that whole weekend and what it meant for the league, you know, a Pride weekend, it was massive. You know, I think Sully's announcement just made it bigger. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it was obviously calculated timing from Sully, but it couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I think the best thing about it was the way he did it. He didn't do it as a look at me sort of thing. He did it as a gateway that he chose to go to the path of helping other people fight their inner demons and come out whenever they want to and made them feel comfortable. So I was more proud of the way he did it than the fact that he actually did it, because that didn't matter to me in a good way.
Of course, no, we get that. Good stuff. Well, you know, it's great that things have gone so well for you, Sully, since making such a big thing. But let's talk about other things. I want to put some stuff to you while you're all here. We don't know what's happening with the season as we speak. The 15th of September is the deadline that we're hearing from the Elite League, that they'll make a decision one way or the other. And I'm keen to get the thoughts of you guys, given that you're all players. Firstly, do you think the season will go ahead? We're seeing players going abroad. Ben Bounds off to Austria, although I think Bounds was probably going to go abroad anyway at some point, given how well he's been doing. Stevie Lee going to Italy after leaving Guildford as well. We'll start around the houses there. You know, what do you make of what's happening, Sully? We'll start with you. Is an opportunity abroad something you're maybe looking at to get some game time this year?
No, I don't think so. I spoke to a few other guys that are in the Elite League, and I think if the Elite League doesn't go ahead, I think the leagues below still have a much higher chance of going ahead. And for some of us who have you know, our lives and our jobs here. That's it's more important to stay in the country than kind of go abroad. And I'm kind of hoping that it's the only season I've played in the Elite League where I'm actually missing not being back playing already. Usually I'm kind of enjoying my summer and want a few more months off. But yeah, it's weird. Hopefully ice rinks open up soon. And I think there's a basketball test going on for indoor sports. So hopefully that goes well. And we can have some good news on the 15th.
Definitely. Now, Matt, your situation, we spoke about this before, about, you know, having a job, maybe something for you to look at, but your lifestyle is quite different at the moment. Your wife's very pregnant as opposed to just being pregnant. She's getting close now. What are the options for you looking ahead? You know, Gareth said in his blog, he's told you guys to maybe start looking elsewhere if you want to play.
Yeah, obviously, well, me and Peaks actually don't really know much more than anybody else, right? And as well as anybody, like, everyone's just waiting on what the government are going to say. And if it comes around on the 15th that they're going to still go ahead for December, then that's what we're going to do. But if it doesn't, then we're going to have to look elsewhere, whether that means going away for a year, trying to find a job in a league below, or just trying to find a full-time job. Whatever's going to pay the bills, really, that's the main thing.
And Peaks, you've played abroad before. You were in North America at the very start of your career. You had that brief spell in Denmark back in 2013. Is it an option for you to maybe look to go abroad for a year?
No, I think I'm kind of past that point in my career where I'd look to go abroad. Other commitments and things like that start taking over here. And I mean, it's great. I hope guys do get jobs abroad. But then, you know, I'm sure every country's got the same sort of worry. If they go into local lockdowns, you wouldn't want to kind of be stuck abroad in a foreign country when all that's kind of going down. For me, it would be, you know, obviously we're waiting, it's all on this September 15th, and then it'd probably be a case of looking around the UK.
Okay, well, that's good. I've got your thoughts on that. That's good. So we've got the sort of parish notes out of the way. So, Sully, you're a special guest this week. Thanks for coming on. You said to me you've been dying to come on for a little while. Well, these two guys are here to rib you, I'm sure, over certain things. But talk about your time at the Clan, the 4 years you were at the club. And I want you to start by telling me the story again about when you met Matt Haywood that you told us for his testimonial and how that went. And then Matt can tell his version of events.
Just a lie. I'm going to tell you a lie right now.
No, it's a lie. Also, Craig, I played for the Clan for 5 years, not four. Come on.
Wow.
I was going to bring that up.
You knew Peaks had a little small stint in Denmark in 2013, but didn't know you played at his club for 5 years.
Right, tell you what, Sully, you tell your story. I'll go and check Elite Prospects just to be sure. Crack on.
All right. Okay, fine. I think I was coaching on a Best of British camp in Sheffield and went on with the Steel Dogs. I think Woody was training with the Steel Dogs. And just after, it's like summer, June or July. And after practice, Robert Dowdy, said to me, oh, I'll introduce you to Woody. He's going to be on your team next year. So I see him in the dressing room. I go up to him. I was like, I'm Zach Sullivan. I'm going to be on your team next year. And oh, cool, right. And then just turn back to his conversation and ignore me.
I'm pretty sure I was mid soaping my hair in the shower, and I don't want to be talking to somebody at that time. Probably picked the world's worst time, but I don't remember it at all. It's not like me. I don't think I would do that. I think he just says it to make people like him a bit better. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he's trying to get a rise out of you, I think. I think that's what he's doing. And incidentally, I do owe an apology. You're right. Sully did spend 5 years at the Clan, not four. I've had that double checked. So
I know where I played in my career.
Absolutely no. I'm just making sure of my own information. Consider myself duly told.
This actually leads me in. Actually, season two, Sully, when we all signed back.
Yeah,
we all signed back in the summer, and everyone's getting. It might have been
season three.
Was that Peter's first year? Anyway, there's a couple of big Brit signings, so they had like, it was the year where they started putting like highlights on signing. So signing back Matt Haywood, and I had like my two goals from the year before or whatever. And Pete's had like the whole Belfast thing, and then they said Sully signed back, and they just had like three clips of him from practice, like skating backwards.
I did a pivot backwards in another one.
Not even doing anything. It was so, like, he didn't have any highlights from the year. They just picked two out from practice.
That was combined with our ones, wasn't it? I think that was my second year.
It was like, Pete's goal, me skating backwards. Me skating backwards again.
Oh, dear.
Could have been worse, though, Sully. I've seen you do worse things than that.
That's why Craig only remembered 4 years you're at this
question. No, I'm not going to hear the end of this, am I? That's it for me. I'm not going to hear the end of it.
Research is preparation, Craig.
I thought I was doing well there. But you mentioned, Peaks, obviously, the fact that when you moved to Scotland and Sully became one of your very good friends as well. Can you remember when you first met him, how you sort of bonded?
Oh, I think I originally first met him. I coached him on School of Excellence. My dad was the England coach. Was it under 14, Sully, you would have been?
Yeah, 14.
So I was just coaching him back then. I wasn't sort of friends of him, but I got to know him a little bit then. And then, yeah, the first 2 years I was living on my own up here. And then my third season, Sully got the flat that I'm actually sitting in right now. And we lived together and we played a lot of Call of Duty and FIFA, and I'd make him take my dog out for a walk, and yeah, the friendship just went from there, really. But no, he's a great kid, and he's really kind. I've got a lot of time for him. We obviously like to make a lot of fun of him, but he knows that's because we like
him. He has to put him in his place, so you see what he's like when you get something wrong, Craig.
Oh, I know. I'm getting that now, yeah.
But he's got to just be there just to try and
Oh, dear. Now, Sully, talk about when you first came to Glasgow. You were but a mere slip of a boy coming to Scotland, your first step in the Elite League as well. What was it like for you moving to a different country? You know what I mean? Moving to a whole different environment than you were used to.
Well, it might be a different country soon.
There it is, look.
We're getting politics.
Technically, it is. So.
Example A right there.
just throwing the fishing rod out there, see if anybody plays later on. No, it was really scary. I played in Basingstoke 2 years before that, and I'd lived away from home, but I was only an hour away from home, so if I missed my family, I could go home for a couple of days and come back for practice. And it was kind of my first big commitment towards ice hockey, and I didn't know anyone. Met Woody and he completely ignored me. But no, it was like I didn't know anyone. I knew that the majority of the, like, a few guys from the team is the year before I signed back. And I also knew Finney was taking quite a big gamble on me. He didn't really know anything about me. He was just taking me because Shep, my coach at the time, said that I could play. And I think the first couple of days I didn't say a word to anyone.
Was your first year Salts?
Yes.
Sort of Salts year?
So we were having like drinks at Barvaria, everyone meeting each other, and I went and got a cider, and I sat back down, and what did he say?
Well, I'm not going to say what he said because his kid's going to be watching, but he came over, and you know Salts is massive. He's got like five big beers in his hand, like, and he looks at Sully's like fruity Copperberg and just went, "What the bleep is that?" And Sully hadn't said a word for 2 days, like he said, meets this behemoth 6'5" statue of a man, and he's like, "Oh!" And I think he went up and ordered a beer. Did he, Sully?
Oh, beer off there.
First beer he'd ever drank there.
Oh dear. And working with Ryan Finnerty, Zach, I remember there was the odd occasion after a game you felt as though he'd given you a hard time. You know, even if Clan had won, I think it was maybe once or twice you came out and you didn't look the happiest. And I think you'd said to me that he gave you a hard time. But when you look back on that now, do you feel it's to your benefit as you look back in your career working with him?
I think Finner probably knows that I absolutely hated him for my first 2 years at Glasgow. But yeah, like you say, looking back, it was, you know, he was tough on me because he knew I could do better. He wanted more out of me, and it was his way of motivating me. We had a couple of laughs about it last season. saying how he'd probably get put in prison for some of the things he was saying. But no, it's like, you know, when I left Glasgow, that was my first, I wanted to play for Finner again. So that kind of shows that, you know, I have a lot of respect for him as a coach. And obviously with what I did in January, I don't think that I could have had a coach that could have helped me anymore do that. He was a big help with me with that. And yeah, I think he's a really good coach. And we were unlucky in our first two seasons not to kind of take the title. And I think in the third season there were some other issues, but you know, he's obviously a great coach. And from my other 2 years, I think with Tripper and the coach after, it was we struggled to kind of replicate the form of my first 2 years under Finner. So I think he's a really good team builder. He always knows the kind of team that he wants. And yeah, he's a really good coach. And looking back now, I kind of understand why he was so tough on me. And it wasn't a personal thing. He didn't hate me. He just wanted me to be better.
Hey, Sully, when Finner was on here, I told the story of the Nottingham incident after the first period. I want you to tell the story, because you tell it better than me.
Was that the game that we were playing heads up on the way down, wasn't it?
Or cards or something like that.
Yeah, we were playing heads up on the way down. Well, we were 4-0 down after. It was the cup first leg of the cup semi-final, and we were 4-0 down after the first. I was -4 and probably at fault for 4 goals. And Levy was behind me, and we're walking to the dressing room. You have to walk all the way around, and I just hear Finner go, "Sully, are you high?" I was like now, if he said that to me, I'd just like laugh it off. But at the time, it was like my second season with him. I hadn't really got like a very good relationship with him, and I was just kind of like, "No, I promise." I had no idea what to say, and then I think the majority of that intermission was just him screaming at me. I wasn't on the ice for any more of their goals after that, so it worked.
Because you were on the bench.
Now, we had Finner on the show a few weeks ago, and you know, we all know Ryan quite well. He's good for a laugh. He likes a joke. But I get the feeling, and not based on solely on the story Sully's told here, but he was a guy that if you annoyed him, he let you know about it. Would that be right?
He knows what he wants, and if you don't, he knows what you can bring as well. He knows what each individual guy can bring to the team, and if you're not performing to your normal standard, he'll let you know. He doesn't have a problem with that. I think he's one of the few coaches that I've encountered that holds everyone accountable. He doesn't have favourites. You know, if our top point scorer is not playing well, he'll call them out just as well as he'll call out the lowest point scoring guy on the team. He doesn't have a problem with calling guys out. And, you know, he's always said that his door's always open. If you have a problem with how he's talking to you or how he's coaching, then go in his office at any time. And I think that's quite rare in a coach to hold everyone accountable. It's not, there's no favourites, there's no preferential treatment.
And it seems he has such a high standard as well. Is there a time, Matt, when you can remember being on the wrong side of Finner after that, you know, during a game or if something's happened?
Yeah, I think everyone's been on it. I don't think he does it out of malice or anything. I think he just does it, like he says, because he knows how well he can play. And if you're not at that level, just the type of guy he is, an intense guy. Yeah, I'll tell you something about Finner, though. He doesn't understand injuries. Like he's had every injury in the book. Like if you say I've broke my arm, he said, "Oh, I did that once, so I was back playing in 2 weeks." Well, I've got a cast on, but I'll try.
Well, I can tell you, it doesn't just extend to you guys playing. He's held me to account in a couple of things I've written in the past, as I mentioned. You've all played down under in Australia or New Zealand. Sully, you talked about your experience in New Zealand. Peaks, we'll start with you. Tell us about your time down under. What team was it you played for, and how good a summer was that for you?
Yeah, I was at the West Auckland Admirals. Yeah, it was great. It was kind of something I always had on my radar that I wanted to do. And I know you get to a point, I think, like kind of Sully said, and you almost forget why you play hockey. And when I went there, I just, you know, I loved it so much, and there was no pressure, and the guys are all great, and you just have a really good time. And they're all happy that you're kind of there on their team. And I just had a great summer, just traveled around as much as I could. Unfortunately, I broke my ankle while I was there, which wasn't ideal. We're winning a game like three, I don't know, we're up by about three goals, and then we got a penalty of about a minute left, and they put me out there, and I was like, I don't really want to be on the ice right now. And the defender wound up for a slap shot, so I moved like 5 feet off to the side of the net, and he still managed to hit me in the foot, even though I wasn't in the lane. I purposely got out of the way, and it broke my ankle, so I came back home early. But other than that, yeah, it was a blast. I went with Kevin Phillips, another former Clan guy. He's a funny, funny human. And then we had a Dutch import there. I'm still real, real friendly with him, and I talk to him all the time.
Am I right in saying you were picked for the All-Star game that year prior to your injury as well? Obviously, that didn't materialise because of your injury. That's just come into my head there. Am I right in saying that?
In New Zealand?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do like a USA-Canada tour thing over there. So they were doing the New Zealand Ice Blacks just against like a select team from the league. And it was going to be in Wellington's cricket stadium outdoors. But the rain delayed it one night. And then the next day, the wind was so high that it blew the boards over. So that was my one and only chance to play in a winter classic. And it didn't bloody happen.
What about you, Matt? You went to Adelaide back in 2013. Tell us about that.
Still got the tracksuit bottoms to prove it. Still wear them.
Yeah, he does.
When we moved house, I lost them for like 10 months and then just found them again to start doing a garden, and so I'm wearing them all the time again. Yeah, Kevin Phillips was actually over there already, and I one of their imports left, so he just messaged me to go over, and I thought, well, it's free flights to Australia and whatnot, and I went over and absolutely loved it. And like Craig said, you don't really go over for the hockey, but it does remind you why you play the hockey. You don't play to get paid. You don't play to whatever your reason is to get to play. You find that all the local boys, Australian, New Zealand boys, love it so much that it makes you realise why you do actually love the game. It reminds you of when you were in the juniors, I suppose, and you just used to go. Because a lot of them actually pay to play. I know, I don't know what it's like in New Zealand, but a lot of them, boys on the team pay like subs to pay, which is something you used to do in junior hockey over here.
Okay, we're starting to run out of time. Just a few things to wrap up before we do. A couple of questions for you, Sully, but one I want to ask you about, it came up in a tweet earlier from Martin Grubb regarding hide and seek with GB under 20s. You're laughing. Tell us that story.
Yeah, we had our World Championships in Dumfries. I think we were in Pool 1B. 1A. 1A.
That's rubbish. You didn't get to go abroad.
I know.
And then we were like, oh, at least it'll be in Nottingham, and then Dumfries. So we were staying in this castle. So it was just our team. And we had a day off, I think, on the Wednesday. And we didn't practice. And we just kind of sat downstairs after breakfast. And we were all like, what should we do for the whole day? Like, what are we going to do? And then someone just, like, shouted out, let's play hide. I said, let's play hide.
I was going to say, was it you? Yeah.
Shocker.
And yeah, we split into two teams and we literally spent the entire day playing hide and seek. I think Paul Heavey joined in, Martin Grubb joined in. And yeah, there were like closed off sections of this castle that were like closed off because they were going to fall down, and guys were running in there, hiding in there, like we were all over the castle. The only rules were we weren't allowed to go outside. But it was very fun.
There you go. See what happens when you go on international duty. Excellent. Okay, a couple of questions for you.
Bloody Dumfries. You didn't get to go to Riga and get drunk as a 19-year-old. No,
times have changed since we went.
we tried to go out on the Sunday. We went into Dumfries, and it's Dumfries, so everything was closed.
I know.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying. You're unlucky. You didn't get to go to some Eastern Bloc country.
Right, before we finish up, a couple of questions have been put to you, Sully, from fans. Malky Hughes is asking what your best moment in a Clan jersey and who your favourite defensive partner was. So a bit of a double question there.
Favourite defensive.
Can I guess your pair, your D man?
Go on.
Go on.
Nathan McKeever.
Is he right?
I would have said Bertie, but I wasn't there those seasons.
I played with Arcee for a while. Arcee was probably my favourite, but we never really played together for more than 2-3 weeks. But yeah, probably like long-term D partner, Nathan. He protected me quite a lot. Whenever there was a big hit in, you'd see Matt taking the gloves off and his hands are the size of your head just pounding away on someone. He taught me a lot as well. He taught me quite a lot of things you can get away with without the refs seeing that hurt the forwards and annoy the forwards. Don't think I did that to either of you two in our games, did I?
No, I used to run you in the corners when I played against you, mate.
What did you tell me after I played you 6 times?
Can't repeat, it's a family show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Keep the swear words to a minimum, guys, is a nightmare to edit.
Probably, that's quite tough. Probably that first year when we...
Well, just while he was thinking, it was taking a while, so anybody? Same time, Craig. Carry on, Sully.
When we won the conference, I think it was the first time Glasgow had done it, so the fans were really into it. And it was, even though it was just a conference, but it was still quite a cool feeling to have kind of won something. And at the time as well, I think we were all pretty confident that we'd go on and be very close in the league. And I think we lost by a point in the end to Sheffield. So that was a really fun time to be at the club, and we were winning things, and we were pretty confident we were going to win more things. So probably when we won the conference in that first year.
Okay, one last question. Liam McNulty is asking, who's the one EIHL player, past or present, you wish you could have played with? Quite a wide-ranging one, that one. Any thoughts on that?
He's lived his dream. We're right here.
There you go. The boys have answered it for you.
Pete's again. No. there have been some pretty unbelievable players come over. Probably from, you know, one of the NHL guys that came over, Matt Bleski, obviously came over and did really well. Probably one of those guys that came over. I think Bissonnette came over, and Drew Miller went to Glasgow. So it would have been pretty cool to play with someone who was, you know, genuinely playing in the NHL. They weren't coming down off their, like, they played before, they were still playing in the NHL, and when the lockout ended, they went back over and started playing again. That would have been pretty cool to play with someone that was an NHL player.
There we go. That answers that. Okay, well, I think we're just about reached the end of Clan Chat Online with our special guest Zach Sullivan this week. Just a reminder, Clan Classics on Saturday is the Clan against Nottingham Panthers from a couple of years ago. That's worth watching again. Saturday, 7 p.m. on the YouTube channel. Your 50-50 tickets will be on sale, so will the shirt off the back tickets as well. Keep your eye on the Clan social media for details on that. Yes, Peaks, we see it. Anyway, thanks guys for joining us. Matt Haywood, pleasure to have you on as always.
Thanks for having us.
And Game Plan Financials, Craig Peacock in the bottom right-hand corner. Thanks for stepping in again. Yep.
Game Plan Craig Insta, give us a follow.
There you go. And finally, a special guest this week, Zach Sullivan. Good to hear from you, Zach. Great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. 5 years at the Clan.
5 years at the Clan, you're absolutely right.
Thank you very much. Do your homework next week, Craig. Do your homework, please.
I will, mate, don't you worry. We'll see you next week for another edition of Clan Chat Online with another guest, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.